Amen. Let's turn, please, in our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. And when you arrive there, then if you'd go to James chapter 4. Ephesians 1 and James 4. I noticed the lady who wrote that song lived to be 97 years old. She actually wrote the words and the music. And what a precious hymn in the years to testify of it. James chapter 4 and verse 14. And Dad, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir? Amen. James chapter 4 and verse 14. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even what? A vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. So if our lives are just a vapor, just appear for a little time, then it's important, isn't it, that we make our time count, because we don't know how much time we have if our lives are like a vapor. So last week we looked at life is a mission from God for each of us. Each of us have a mission in our lives. Yesterday at the Park Ministry, Brother Jerry Bond went to be with the Lord 8 years ago. And still remember his preaching out there too in the park. But it's hard to believe it's been 8 years. It just is hard to believe. It's been 8 years. And so the years are going by quickly, aren't they? And so we want to make them count. So what is our mission? We looked at last week. What is our mission in life? No life is an accident. There's a mission that each of us should be on for the Lord. And we must find that out, what his will for our lives is. Let's look at Romans 12, verse 1. No one else knows that mission. It's only information that you can get from God. I mean, I know it would be nice sometimes if we could just go to someone and say, listen, would you just tell me what to do? Well, that's okay if you're a child at home and, you know, mom, dad, tell me what you want me to do and do it. And if you're at work, you know, go to the boss and say, what do you want me to do now? That's okay. But I'm talking about our lives as a whole, general. There's no one, no person we can go to and say, please tell me what to do. That information we can only get from God, and he wants to give it to us. Romans 12, 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye what? Present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto who? God, which is your reasonable service. So each of us have to do that if we want to fulfill the mission that he's called us to. Each of us have to present our bodies to him and say, Lord, here I am, like Isaiah, send me. What do you want me to do, Lord? Verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is a good and acceptable and what? Perfect will of God. So, verse 2, it is possible. Just like we read a little bit ago in Psalm 19, the word of the Lord is right, and we can know what God's will for our lives is. We can prove it. How? From the word of God. Brother Jesse preached a message on Wednesday night, back a few Wednesday nights ago, and telling us of all these verses that are telling him what is the will of God, what the mission of God for his life is. And that's where we get the info. That's the map. That's the treasure map right here. The treasure map. X marks the spot for you somewhere in here, but I can't tell you where it is. Only you can see it. Only you can find it. And the Holy Spirit will help you to find it from his word. So in Ephesians chapter 1, let's go there for a second. Ephesians chapter 1. And so it said, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the who? The saints. So we looked at last week, by what terms are we known? Does anyone call us a saint? Or do they have some other terms that wouldn't be too good? Oh, isn't it amazing how filthy and vile people's mouths have become? I mean, it's just horrible, isn't it? I mean, our nation is so angry and at war with each other, and just the vile, vile words that are spewing out of their mouths. So we need to live according to the word of God. And then we saw in verse 1 also, said to the faithful in Christ Jesus. So we need to have a testimony of faithfulness. Year after year after year, pray for pastors. It's already been mentioned this morning, but pastors in California in particular, maybe there's other states too, but there's a preacher by the name of Jack Treiber out in California, and the county in which their church is, it's an independent Baptist church, but that county has said that if that preacher goes there this morning to church, they're going to arrest him. The county has put on the church door closed. And I was thinking of the different ways to handle that. Now, he says he'll just go to jail because he's going to go in there. And so he'll go to jail. But I just thought the Lord has to lead him however he wants. But I just thought, what if that would happen here? If the township, the county, the state would lock this building and say, you're not meeting in here. I thought, hey, we had a park ministry yesterday, amen? I just thought, surround the church or just in front of the church, just start preaching and singing. But we are living in trying times. We just need to have a faithful testimony that we're going to keep serving God. No matter what people say, we are going to keep serving God. So that's what we saw, number one, last week. Life is a mission from God. Number two, life is provision from God. Notice in verse 2, it says, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, after God created mankind, it did not take very long at all for selfishness and sin to begin to rule and to reign. Notice in Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. Pastor Jeremy talked about Solomon for a bit in Sunday school today. And a little bit of Solomon is a lot of bit, as it were, here in Genesis 6 as well. Genesis 6:1, it came to pass when men began to multiply in the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God, what? Saw the daughters of men, that they were what? Fair. How were they choosing? By looks. They saw that the daughters of men were fair, and they what? Took them wives of what? All which they chose. So selfishness and sin began to reign. Verse 3, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. So, and this grieved God's heart. Verse 5, God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. That's about where we're at in America, it seems like. Verse 6, and it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. I wonder today, is God pleased with us, or is God grieved with us? Verse 7, and the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah what? Found grace in the eyes of the Lord. I think of California threatening churches this morning. And I was just reading earlier this week, or maybe it was the previous week, I forget, but there were, was it like 300 and some fires? I forget. It was a huge amount going in California. And the majority of them had been started from lightning strikes. And they talked about a dry thunderstorm rolling through. I've never heard of a dry thunderstorm. Have you? But they said dry thunderstorms rolling through California, no rain but lightning. And it even showed a picture, then these huge fires got going, and it showed a picture of a tornado caused by the heat of the fire. You could see in the flames, and it was a black vortex rising right up just from the huge updrafts of the fires, the burning, the heat. You know what? I would think if I was the governor of California or the legislators or the heads of these counties, I think I would fall on my knees before Almighty God and beg for mercy. But what are they doing? They're locking churches. They just aren't getting it. What is going on? Just like the people of Genesis 6. But there was one man who knew what was going on. Verse 8, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Verse 9, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah what? Walked with God. And Noah begat what? Three sons. Now, can you really be sure if you have a son or a daughter today? The world, some don't really know that. There's a physician in America who is separated from her husband. And the physician wife is trying to turn their boy into a girl. The courts have swung back and forth, at first for her, then for the husband. The husband wants to keep his boy a boy. The physician wife, mother, wants to turn the boy into a girl. And now the courts have sided with her. Can you imagine? The boy doesn't want to be a girl. How many little boys do you know of that want to be a girl? It's kind of rare. Normally, little boys have to grow up to be big boys before they like girls, let alone want to be one. So you talk about child abuse, that is it. Start giving medicines to try to undo the manly things that God has put into a little boy. Talk about a sick world. We need to pray for that little boy. But here's a man, Noah, who found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Verse 9, he's walking with God. Verse 10, he has three boys, Shem and Ham and Japheth. You know, it's hard to walk with someone unless you're in step, isn't it? When we lived in Chattanooga, Tennessee, there was a man at school. He was 6'8". Can you imagine what the school wanted him for? Tell me. Basketball. What position? Center. And that's what he was. He was the center on the basketball team. And he married a little gal. And in my mind, Pastor Jeremy's talking about memories. In my mind, it seemed like she come up to about his belt buckle. Now, I'm sure she was taller than that, because that would only put her at 3'4". So I think she probably was taller than that. But here, this great big tall guy and this little gal walking beside him. Can you imagine trying to match strides? I can't imagine such a thing. Either she would be running with him in the grocery store, or he would have to really work on slowing, straightening, making smaller his stride. I can't imagine it. When my wife and I are going into stores, as we're walking together, I'm trying to match strides. And our height isn't that much different, but I still have to work at it, matching the same stride. And so Let's look at Amos chapter 3. Amos chapter 3. Amos chapter 3. Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum. But somewhere back there, Amos 3 in verse 3 says, can two what? Walk together except what? Except they be agreed. Now, if you want to go to Myers and your wife wants to go to Walmart, you have a problem, don't you? You can't walk to both at the same time. Yet, Noah walked with God. They were in agreement. Now, how can we, who are sinners, ever walk with God? Our thoughts are not his thoughts. Our ways are not his ways. How can we walk with him? Well, let's go to Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6. How do we ever get in stride with someone who's perfect? How do we do it? Now, some of you run, and I could never keep up with you. After about 5 yards, you'd be ahead of me, and that would be the end of the story. But in Isaiah 6 and verse 1, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims, each one had 6 wings. With twain he covered his face, with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, what? Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of what? Unclean lips. And this is someone that God's going to use as a prophet. He said, I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. You know, when we see God in all his holiness, we see all of our filthiness. How many of you drove vehicles here today? Okay. How many of you looked through the windows in your vehicle on the way here? Okay. I don't know if it was sunny. Was it sunny when you came to church? Okay. Did anyone have to drive into the sun this morning? Okay. No one. How many of you have ever looked through a windshield, and it seemed like it was clear, but then you had to drive into the sun, and you found out the inside of your windshield really is dirty and smeared, and the outside is dirty. How many of you have ever driven into the sun, and the glare was so bad on whatever is on your window, you could hardly see through it? Anyone? Yeah. It might be that way in your house sometimes. You might look through the windows and you might not think a thing until the sun comes up and you're looking through that window and you think, you're kidding me. How can I even see through that window? It's amazing. What's the difference? The light, the powerful light shining through that windshield. Suddenly you see how dirty that windshield really is. And I'll tell you something, when Isaiah saw the Lord in all of his glory, the one who dwells in the light which no man can approach unto, he saw himself as dirty, as filthy, as unclean, needing a thorough cleansing. And that's what we need. We need the light of God's word to shine upon us and show us what we are really like. And we'll be like Isaiah. Now, so what's God going to do? How is he ever going to walk with us? How are we ever going to walk with him? There's such a vast difference between us and God. What's going to happen? Is God going to have to let down some things for us to ever walk together? No, he's not going to do that. 1 Peter 1:14. Now, that's what a lot of professing Christians are doing. They're saying, well, we've got to attract the world somehow, so we've just got to let down. And, that's not what God says to do. In 1 Peter 1, verse 14, the Bible says, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to what? The former lust and your ignorance. So God says, no. No, you don't let down your guard. You don't dress lustfully like you used to do. That's not the answer. Verse 15. But as he which hath called you is what? Holy, so be ye what? Holy in all manner of conversation. So that's the key. God is not going to let down and mess around in the sin of this world. No, he's saying, you be holy. Verse 16, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. How can we be holy when we're not? How can we? There's no way to pick up our pace to be holy like God. That is in and of ourselves. We can't do that. So, and God's not going to let down his holiness. So how can we walk together, Amos 3:3? Does that mean we're doomed? No. That's where grace comes into the picture. Let's go back there in Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 2. Grace be to you and peace. It's that grace. God is not going to give up any of his holiness to match our sinful stride. It's funny, the Danish Festival Committee did away with the parade this year, and I think that probably would have been yesterday. I forget. I think so. But anyway, there was a big to-do at one of the bars, the taverns in town, and I guess that was okay. I don't know. Maybe enough alcohol just kills COVID. I don't know. Maybe that's their thought. I don't know. But that's what they did. God is not going to give up his holiness, not one iota of it. What he is going to do in his power and by his grace is bring us up to him. He's going to declare us righteous. How is he ever going to do that? Isaiah 1, Isaiah chapter 1. He's not going to look the other way. He's not going to give up any of his holiness. Isaiah 1:18. The Bible says, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord, though your what? Your sins be as scarlet. He's not messing around here. He's saying, your sins are as scarlet. They show up like a sore thumb. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be what? As white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as well. God wants to reason with us. He said, I'm going to cleanse you as white as snow. You are stained with your sin, but I'm going to cleanse you by my grace if you'll come to me. 1 Peter 1:18. How can we be declared righteous and holy? Only through his blood. 1 Peter 1:18. 1 Peter 1:18. For as much as ye what? Know. But how many people do know what we're going to read? For as much as ye know that ye were what? Not redeemed with corruptible things. We're not going to get into step with God by our corruptible things. You were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the what? Precious blood of Christ, is of a lamb without blemish and without spot. That's how we get in step with God. That's how we walk with God. It's all through his grace. He's not giving up an iota of his holiness, but he is going to bring us up to his level. I was looking at rescue stories, and there was an American that flew into Canada, and it did not say what happened to his plane. But he had one of these planes outfitted with a parachute. It was a small plane. And so when he went down, he released his parachute, But he went down right in thick woods. And in fact, one of the trees actually went up through part of the plane, but he was spared of any serious injuries. And so he had a radio and he called for help. And then he started a fire and with smoke, and they located him. And the Canadian, I don't know if it's the Royal Air Force, who it is, but anyway, they come with a helicopter and let a thing down to him and rescued him. The Canadians didn't try to trek way back in those woods. I have no idea how far he was from any roads. The Canadians came along and lifted him up to their level and took him to safety, and that's what Christ does for us through his blood. Notice in 1 John 1:7, in 1 John 1:7, it says, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship." There it is. We can walk with God. We can be in agreement with him. How? We have fellowship one with another, and the what? Blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from what? All sin. All sin. So God is not going to give up his holiness, but he's longing for us, and he wants to bring us to his level. He wants to declare us righteous. He wants to declare us without sin, and he has the power and the authority to do that because he paid the price of our sin. Notice in Colossians 1. Colossians 1. You know, we kind of have it all backwards today. We're trying to lasso God and pull him down to our level and make his level more appealing to mankind. It isn't going to work. It doesn't work. Colossians 1:20. And having made what? Peace through the blood of his cross. Would you hold your place there? Turn back to Ephesians 1, because that's the second point. Ephesians 1:2. It says, "Grace be to you and what? Peace from God our Father." Now let's go back to Colossians 1:20. And having made peace. How do we ever make peace with God? How do you ever make peace with Iran? How do you ever make peace with China? North Korea? If those seem impossible, how do we ever make peace with God? We are vile sinners. Once the light of his holiness shines on us, we just see how filthy and dirty we really are. Well, verse 20, and having made peace through the blood of his cross. That's how we have peace with God. Through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. Notice the emphasis on him. He's the one making peace. He is the one reconciling all things unto himself, because there's no way we can get to his level. We are too filthy and vile. As we read on, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. Verse 21, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. Yesterday we were out in the park ministry, and I remember there was a certain little pickup going by, and the passengers, two men, the passenger in the side was looking at me just with that smirk on his face. He's thinking, "You people are crazy." And I know that he is crazy to drive on by the park where the gospel was being preached when it seems like alien stuff to him. He's driving right by. There's a crater in, it's one of those Istan countries of the broken down Soviet Union, but it's been going for about 50 years, the fire in it. There was I don't know if it was an oil drilling company, I think it was for gas, but anyway, there's this crater over there, and I don't know what the diameter is. It's in the middle of the desert. It's been burning for like 50 years, the flame. And they call it the gates of hell. And there was one man that went down into it with a fireproof suit on it, and he could only stay there, I forget how many minutes. It was not very minutes at all, and it was too hot. He could only stay there that long, and he had to get out. The fact of the matter is that little pickup that drove by the park are headed literally for the gates of hell, not just a crater across the sea. Because those who go into the lake of fire, there's no fire suit, and there's no getting out in a few minutes or a few years or ever. So this is how we walk with God. Verse 21, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath what? He reconciles. He reconciled. Verse 22, in the body of his flesh through what? Death. To present you what? Holy. Isn't that amazing that we could ever be holy? And then what? And what? Unblameable. Isn't that amazing? Just ask. Just ask of any of us. Just ask the world. Can you blame Mike Austin for anything? And, oh, yeah, this, that. Can you imagine this? To present you holy and unblameable and what? Unreprovable. Has anyone in here ever done anything wrong? We could be reproved for so many things. Well, you didn't do this right. You didn't do that right. You should have done this. You shouldn't have done that. Oh, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in what? His sight. Just think, if people could reprove us all day long for things we've done wrong or things we should have done that we didn't do, imagine how God could reprove us in his sight. If we are filthy and vile in the sight of people, how much more so in the sight of God who knows all things? But look at that, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Wow. And it's all because he's looking at us through Jesus and his shed blood for us. So, how can we walk in step with God? He's not going to slow down his stride. He's not going to let down on his holiness. He's going to lift us up through the blood of Jesus Christ to his level if we will turn to him. That's what he wants to do. Isaiah 40. There's no sin that he cannot forgive. There's no life that he cannot reclaim. Isaiah 40, verse 28. Isaiah 40, 28, hast thou not known? Do we know? Does this world know? Hast thou not heard? Have we heard? Has this world heard? Well, Greenville had a chance to hear yesterday that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, have they heard that God is the creator, that we're not an accident of evolution? The creator of the ends of the earth fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He what? Giveth power. To who? The faint. How many of you did not get enough sleep this week? I've got both hands and both feet, if I could, at the same time. He giveth power to the faint. We were doing some orders, and one of my granddaughters said to me, Grandpa, you're tired, aren't you? She says, I can hear it in your voice. Your voice sounds tired. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he what? Increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon who? The Lord shall renew their strength. They shall what? Mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. That is what Christ wants to do for us, is lift us up to his level. That's only through his blood. Then why doesn't he do it for the whole world? It's desire. Our. Do we have the desire to repent of our sin? Do we have the humility to say, my windshield is filthy. I've been driving, looking through it for weeks, but when is the last time I ever got out the Windex and cleaned the inside of my windshield? Probably not, unless you had to drive into the sun. And then you said, I've got to do something about that. You know what? This world has to do something about their sin. And in themselves, they are helpless. But as we get out the message of the gospel, they need to see that judgment is coming and that Christ wants to save them. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace. And we thank you for the peace we can have through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that you lift us up to a state of holiness, to a state of being unreprovable in your sight, through the blood of Jesus Christ, who cleanses us from all of our sin. Father, if there should be any here today who have never been saved, help them today to not let this day go by in vain, but to repent, to turn from their sin to the Lord Jesus Christ and call upon him in faith to save them. Lord, help us as Christians. Lord, help us not to be like the Pharisee who thought he was pretty good. Help us to have the humility of the publican. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Lord, help us not to be weary in getting out the message because you want to reconcile man to yourself. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Let's turn, please, to 160.